A new documentary wades into the issues around the pollution and protection of Pennsylvania's water. The film from Point Park University's Environmental Journalism Program and WQED Multimedia in Pittsburgh is called Downstream.
I was fascinated by the fact that Pennsylvania has more running water than any other state in the country except Alaska. And that statistic, 83,000 miles of rivers and streams and, you know, tributaries, I thought there's a lot of story in that water.
Writer and producer Gina Catanzarite tells that story through some of the threats to clean water in the state, like acid mine drainage seeping from abandoned coal mines, industrial pollution along rivers, sewage overflow when it rains, and the lead in old pipes.
So acid mine drainage is like a long-term problem. A lot of us who grew up in Western Pennsylvania are pretty familiar with those orange streams. What did you learn about how these problems are being addressed in the process of making this documentary?
We worked a lot with Trout Unlimited, and Pennsylvania has one of the most robust Trout Unlimited organizations in the country.
Even if you're not a very avid fisherman and, you know, you don't have a soft place in your heart for trout, you should care about this resource, because the impacts of losing our trout population is a signal that there are impairments happening in our watersheds.
They said something that struck me as profound. They said, when we talk about reclaiming streams or cleaning water, we talk about success in terms of feet, not miles. And I really had a respect for how hard it is to ensure that these impacts, wherever they're coming from, if it's industry, if it's how we treat our own back lawns and the chemicals that we put on them, I kept thinking the challenge of ensuring that that 1 foot is going to be cleaned. And then what do we do to make sure that all of the other feet are cleaned?
So a lot of us have heard about some of these issues like sewage overflow into rivers, but seeing it as people are talking about it in the film really adds another layer of understanding, even for someone like me who covers these issues regularly. Can you talk a little bit about environmental filmmaking as a medium?
It's very difficult to make a film that's about the environment and our interaction with it, because we don't want to stage anything. We know information is there. We know a body of evidence exists. But where do you find it? And sometimes, how long are you willing to wait for it to show up so that you can tape it? And it's really difficult to show something, which is a process, like this nutrient poisoning that we're basically experiencing with all the human waste, with all the agricultural waste. Maybe I see one sewer overflowing. But was that a one-off, or how do I convey that this happens over time? And I think the biggest problem when you're trying to convey a long-term impact is we're not shooting long-term. So what is accurate visual storytelling that will be accepted by an audience? How can they believe what they're seeing?
I was actually thinking of it the opposite way, that it seems like proof to me. Like, you know, you hear about sewage overflow, but you don't really, like, know exactly where it goes or what it looks like. You know, that it just goes right into the river. Like, you can actually see the portals in the film, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's like it becomes a reality.
It does become a reality. And one of the things that I think is hardest about environmental things is there's a smell to sewage overflow that we can't capture. There's a vibrancy to being on the water that doesn't always translate to the thing. So shooting it feels very different. We were with a woman who's swimming in the rivers.
Just so beautiful out here. I just love it.
Even though our rivers aren't perfect, we have problems, you can still get in and enjoy the rivers, and I wish more people knew that.
So we made the choice to be on the water with her, but how could we be on the water with her and not have the motorboat obscuring our audio? And so we said, okay, how about a kayak? Well, my camera guy's gonna tip in a kayak. How about a canoe? So we had a canoe operator. So I felt that it was really important to be right next to her as she swam in this water that people have such a fear of being in.
We hear from researchers, environmentalists, citizen scientists in the film, and each of them has their own piece of the story. You know, each has a sort of call to action, whether it's saving trout or inviting people to get to know the rivers better. Is this film a call to action? What do you want people who see it to do?
I think that the best journalism tells people information that is reliable and has a heart to it, so we can understand the emotion, not just the data. But at the end, it will let them make their own decision. And so if the call to action is learn more about when the water's clean and when it's not clean, don't just write it off, then I feel like that's a good thing that they could take away. But I hope that people become advocates for the water and realize that my vote will matter in policies that affect the water. And while I don't say it in the documentary, one of the old adages that kept coming through my mind is, no single raindrop ever takes responsibility for the flood. And I think that we are that too. No one person ever thinks, what difference could my actions make with the water? But every action is cumulative.
Interconnected, because unless your home sits on the highest mountaintop, you live downstream of someone, and someone else lives downstream of you.
A question that's posed by the narrator in the beginning of the film is, will Pennsylvania serve as a clean water model for the rest of the country, or will it settle for being a cautionary tale? Do you feel like you have an answer for that now, or a better idea of the way things are going?
I met people who want us to be a success story. And at the same time, I'm from Nikki's Rocks. I live right above Neville Island. Neville Island has a lot of industry and a lot of old industry and infrastructure. And I see a lot of people who think that there are short-term financial benefits and the water could be sacrificed for them. So I don't know if we'll be a cautionary tale that really relies on policy and putting those policies into practice and even coming up with stiffer penalties and laws that are a little bit more current, because a lot of these clean stream laws and policies that were made around them for what's acceptable industrial pollution haven't been changed in decades. And the fines for violating them aren't even that stiff, so they feel more like a tax for doing business than a deterrent for doing it again. So I hope that we're a success story, but you know, I don't want to sound like the glass is half empty person. Every time I met somebody who's doing something great, you turn around and you see somebody who's, you know, polluting the water that they just fought so hard to clean.
Thank you very much for talking with me.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate any attention people could, you know, bring to the waters, because it's what sustains us.
Gina Catanzarite is the writer and producer of Downstream. There's a link to watch it at AlleghenyFront.org. The film was funded by the Heinz Endowments, which also supports the Allegheny Front.